When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in. It's the Arrowhead Attic Podcast Thursday edition. Matt Verderam, Patrick Allen here to preview Chiefs v. Bengals 3. And unfortunately, the Chiefs are 0-2 in this new rivalry. How you doing today, Verderam?
I'm good. You threw me in the bus like a monster that I was late.
No, you're late. I don't want them blaming me. You're more popular on the show than me. I need to keep my job.
We ended up getting on the damn thing at 4 o'clock. So I had to pick up my daughter. It was a fire drill of epic proportions. But we are here. We are happy to talk Chiefs Bengals. I'm excited to get into it. Honestly, I've been looking forward to this game more than any other game on the schedule this season. More than Chiefs Bills, Chiefs Bucks, Chiefs Niners, this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Really excited. A lot of trash talk going on. A lot to hit. Before we get kind of, you know, into the meat of the game and everything that's been going on, I had to ask you really quickly about the In the Heights, New Heights podcast, the Kelce brothers. They had Mahomes on. I haven't got a chance to listen to the whole thing, but they dropped kind of Mahomes dropped a bomb on there, he dropped a couple of bombs. One was basically that Matt Nagy liked Mahomes so much that the night before Mahomes met with Andy Reid for the first time in like the draft evaluation process, you know, they call him in basically like Gruden's, you know, the thing that they do with Gruden there and they draw the plays and all that stuff. He gave Mahomes all the plays that Andy was going to have him break down and diagnose. So Mahomes cheated, basically.
Right. Yeah.
What was your take on that? I thought it was hilarious.
Give Matt Nagy a lifetime contract. Maybe make him director of scouting. I don't know. That would be my take. I'm glad he gave the answers to the test. That's my take. I watched most of that show. I've got a few minutes left, but he was on for a while. He was on for almost like 2 hours. It was funny. I also thought it was interesting that Mahomes knew that there were some teams that were like at around 11 and 12 that were going to draft him, and that he told the Chiefs that, you know, you're going to need to go up there and get me if you want to get me. And he was hoping they would because his team wanted to go to. There's a whole lot of what it could have showed us around him, like league wide, and like, you know, teams that could have taken him. I mean, the Bills are the team that traded the Chiefs that pick.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously they have Josh Allen. They're happy. But could you imagine? I mean, they could have taken him. They were on the clock for him, and they didn't take him. The Chiefs tried the year prior to trade up to trade for Paxton Lynch, and the Broncos outbid them for Paxton Lynch. Like, can you imagine if they didn't, and the Chiefs took Paxton Lynch?
Weren't they interested in Brady Quinn 2 years ago?
Oh, God, probably. I mean, you know, but, like, just think about that. I mean, yeah, there's so many things that could have happened. They could have derailed all this, but it didn't. And so it worked out.
Before we go any further, I got to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Kansas City Beer Company, KC Beer Co. They've been with us for a long time now. They're the largest locally owned brewery in Kansas City, and they're the only brewery in KC to focus on German beer styles. They actually brew their beer according to the Bavarian German purity laws of 1516, so going way back. And they only make the beer with 4 ingredients: malt, hops, water, and yeast. I've been out to the brewery. I've met them. I've actually tasted some of the hops from a sack. It was pretty cool. We're going out there. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're all going to be there.
Yep.
But like, it is astounding to me that Steve and the guys over there, that they're able to make such great tasting beer with just those 4 ingredients. You know, like everybody's putting in like blueberry, and that's fine. Like, that's fine, whatever. Like, you know, chocolate, cinnamon, like they're using different things to flavor the beer, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that if you've had any of the KC beers, they vary so differently. The Hefeweizen and the Dunkel and all these things. So I don't even know how they do it. It's like witchcraft.
I can't wait. As you mentioned, we're going out there. And I am driving out there because I'm just that kind of a person. So I am going to load my car. Like, if I get pulled over for speeding, the law enforcement officer is going to look in the back seat of the car and be like, you okay? You had about 250 beers in the back of the car. Yes, a long haul party. But I am looking forward to it. I can't wait to get out there. Their beer is amazing. And if I'm going to be out there, I am literally going to stock my fridge for the next like 6 months. So yeah. I'm ready to do it.
I'm rolling back a couple of kegs. Tugging Kansas just called us the pimp daddies of Arrowhead Addict.
I'll take it there.
Yeah. Of the podcast, at least. Maybe not of the whole site, but of the podcast. We're coming out to Kansas City December 11th. We're going to be out there. Kansas City, Kansas at Tanner's Bar and Grill. The game for the Chiefs-Broncos game, Chiefs at Broncos, it was on Sunday Night Football. It got flexed out, so the time of our event has changed, but we're still coming. Nothing's changing. They're just going from playing at 7:20 to 3:05, so everything's kicking off early. So basically, you can come and make it a day of football with us. Come on out to Tanner's. Yep. They open at 11. Get there early. Go to arrowheadaddict.com/events or check out the link in the description. There's an Eventbrite with tickets for you to RSVP. It doesn't guarantee you a seat at Tanner's, so you need to get there early and position yourself. But it does get you extra raffle tickets. And the first 50 people that check in with us, we're going to start checking at 12:30, get a free gift. It's a really sweet design. Maybe we'll reveal a little bit more here next week. But it's going to be amazing. So make sure that you check that out. We'd love to meet you, shake your hands, watch football with you, check out some of the afternoon games, and we're going to do a pregame show, and then we'll do stuff at halftime. We'll be raffling stuff off, and then we'll do the postgame show after the Chiefs stomp the Broncos. And it's a little annoying that the Broncos are such ass that we're sitting here and we have to change the time of our event. They're so bad that they took Patrick Mahomes off of primetime. By the way, I just seeing a couple people saying that there's some different audio issues. Our producer's not hearing it. Is everybody out there hearing audio issues?
I don't hear it either. Normally I would hear it.
Yeah. We've had them in the past. Richard's checking the YouTube side. And Richard, let us know if it makes sense for us to just, I don't know, does it make sense for me to like come back into the show?
Have an audio issue. I will say while we're apparently maybe potentially having an audio issue. Yes, Russell Wilson has managed to do the impossible. Has done the impossible. It's incredible that he got Patrick Mahomes out of primetime. Like that's damn near a feat that ought to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. Just that alone. By the way, everyone is saying it's just you. So just so you know, like you got on me for being 20 seconds late. Well, screw you. You're a monster. No one can hear you.
So if I restart, see if that maybe fixes it. You got this, man.
I've proven I can say things about Russell Wilson for 4 minutes.
Okay, yeah. Talk about Russell Wilson. I'll be right back.
Okay, so Russell Wilson got Patrick Mahomes flexed out of primetime, which I'm not kidding. Might be the single toughest thing for a quarterback to do for any player to do in the NFL. Right, like. If you said to me, what is Russell Wilson's greatest accomplishment in the NFL? You could talk about the Super Bowl. You could talk about going to whatever it is, 9 Pro Bowls. You could talk about going back-to-back Super Bowls and having won one of them. You could talk about all those things. None of them compare to the legacy-leaving accomplishment that he had this week on Tuesday when he got Denver and Kansas City flexed out of Sunday Night Football. Because if he even had a pulse as a quarterback, there's no way that game doesn't get flexed out. Like, there's no way that game does get flexed out. I should say. Like, that game, it's got Patrick Mahomes in it. Denver's a pretty decently sized market. Like, Denver's a pretty attractive market, big fan base. Kansas City at this point has become a very big fan base around the country. Everybody wants to watch Mahomes, even just casual fans. And they got him flexed out because Russell Wilson is probably the worst quarterback in football this year that is still starting for his team. Like, very well done, and Denver gave him $250 million. And if you watch the show on Sunday, I broke down ever so eloquently exactly what that contract looks like. I still can't believe it. Every time I look at that contract, it's hysterical. My God, is Denver terrible. That said, I actually am happy the game got flexed out because for the show, for our purposes, everybody can get there and stay afterward. Like, that game was going to be late, and so it would have been really like asking a lot of people who work on Monday to stay after the show and watch the post game and interact with us because it'd have been there like midnight. What's going on?
How do I sound? Let us know out there. Restarted the computer, jiggled some cords. Don't understand what the hell is going on.
Let's hope for the best. That's it. I was saying I'm excited that this game got moved into the afternoon, honestly, because I actually like the idea of like people can hang out afterward and people can, hang around a little bit more than they probably would have if the game had gotten.
Yeah,
over
it would have been. Like, I mean, the post game show would have gone to maybe almost midnight on a Sunday where we know people got to work in the morning. So now actually it's going to be kind of interesting because they moved Chargers Dolphins to Sunday night. And it's like,
yes, So we get to watch Chargers lose on prime
depending
time.
On
again,
it's awkward though, I think, for us as Chiefs fans, because depending on how things shake out, you know, if let's say like the Bills lose they lose tonight, you know, and then they're kind of out of the way, and you got the Dolphins right on the Chiefs' heels, or even if the Chiefs were to lose to the Bengals this weekend, we might be forced to root for the, I mean, we probably should be rooting for the Chargers in that game, as much as I don't like it.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Yeah, we probably should, but I'm not putting my invested feelings in the Chargers. I'm not. Like, there's just... there's no way. Honestly, I'm just going to sit back and watch the game. Like, this is a real interesting week, though. Like, to get back to where we were going here with the show originally. This is a fascinating week of football because you have the Bills and the Pats on Thursday. You have the Dolphins and the Niners on Sunday. And, of course, you have the Chiefs and the Bengals. And, by the way, welcome to all the Bengals fans who are listening to the show. We're commenting. Appreciate you. I love the New World AFC because – as anyone who's listened to me for 5 minutes knows, I love history. I love the history of the NFL. Before recently, the Chiefs were a cosmic disaster who had won one Super Bowl in 50 years. And were just a constant, you know, Lucy's going to pull the football away from Charlie Brown type franchise. The Bills lost four straight Super Bowls. And then after that, were just the epitome of an embarrassment. And the Bengals went to two Super Bowls in the 80s, lost them both. And then it became, you know, the Bungles. And then had all those playoff years in a row with Marvin Lewis, so they couldn't win a playoff game. Like, I love that now, arguably, those are the three best teams in the AFC. Like, teams that have historically been down, get sand kicked in their face by the New Englands and the Pittsburghs and the Denvers and the, you know, and hell, for years, even in the 70s and 80s, like the Raiders. And now you have these... you know, these franchises that have these great quarterbacks. And that all are like really easy to root for. Like, you know, it's not like sometimes teams get good and it's like, I'm not rooting for that guy or for that team, like whatever the reason may be. Like, look, I'll just say it. I don't think you're going to have a ton of people if the Browns get good who are like, man, easy to root for them.
Right.
Easy to root for Cleveland, you know, like, which by the way, is a shame for the Browns and for Cleveland in terms of like the fans and the franchise's history. But nobody is rooting for nobody's gonna be like, yeah, Deshaun Watson, hope it works out. No, like, nobody's gonna feel like that.
Right.
We're like for Allen and Burrow and Mahomes. It's so easy to root for those guys. So you know, we were at the Super Bowl last year. We covered it and it was incredible. I mean, we couldn't stop talking about how many Bengals fans were at the game in Los Angeles against the Rams. It's like a home game.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for the new world order in the AFC, and I am excited about this game. I honestly I am more excited for this game than any game this season, for a lot of reasons.
Do you think that this game is in some ways the biggest game of the year for the Chiefs? Obviously, Chiefs, Bills, you know, you think you're fighting it out for the number one seed.
Right,
Bengals
right.
Probably don't have as much of a chance for that. But based just like mentally, right? I mean, very much like the Bills needed to beat the Chiefs a couple of times, and they haven't gotten over the playoff hump yet, but you know, Chiefs have dominated them. You know, look, man, Mahomes is 0-2 against Burrow, and he melted down. They kept him from going to the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
This game means maybe more than any other game to the Chiefs that they played this year, do you think?
I honestly think for the Chiefs, for the players, and for the coaches, this game's more personal than any game they've played in a long time in the regular season. Now, the playoffs are a whole different deal. Like, any playoff game supersedes any regular season game. But in terms of the regular season, yeah. Like, because how many times are the Chiefs trying to get revenge? Like, Heisler and I talked about this afternoon. How many times are the Chiefs out for revenge? They usually are the team that people are getting revenge on or trying to get revenge on, because they win all the time. The Bengals beat them twice last year. And let's call it what it is, man. The Bengals humiliated in the AFC title game. You're up 21-3 and you blow that game? I mean, that's – like, I absolutely think this is the biggest regular season game Mahomes has ever played in, from his standards. Like, he's going to want to throw for a million yards in this game.
And if anybody's got something stuck in their craw about that game, right, it's got to be Mahomes.
It's him.
Because yeah. It was – look. They could have won that game. I don't know what happened to him. Like, everyone's entitled, as great as he is, everyone's entitled to a bad game, a bad half. It happens.
Of course.
You know, he made bad decisions at the end of that game. Credit the Bengals. They adjusted. But, like, he had a guy open in the end zone at the end of the game. Could have won it, you know, and he just was running around. And, you know, he played poorly and then threw a bad pick in overtime. He had the ball, couldn't get it done.
That game – like, I rewatch every game they play. That is about the only game in my life that I just have no reason to watch it again. I mean, not even because I couldn't learn something from it, but I don't feel a need to watch it again. Like, I know I could almost recite to you play by play how they blew that game. I mean, I don't need to sit there and watch. So, you know, that's one of those games that if you're a Chiefs fan, you won't ever get over. And if you're a Chiefs player, I highly doubt you're getting over anytime soon. I don't think for 2 seconds, when any of these guys are like, well, you know what? It's another game. Bullshit. Bullshit, it's another game. No, it's not. No, it's not. And they're going to play with all the emotion of having lost them twice last year. And look, you know what? The Bengals, by the way, like the Chiefs-Bills, I think right now is the biggest rivalry in the NFL. I think most people would say that.
Yep.
But I have to tell you, like, the Chiefs and the Bengals, you could argue, like, should be a bigger rivalry in some ways, because the Bengals have gotten to the Super Bowl. Like, the Bengals have accomplished it. No offense to the Bills. The Bills have never gotten to the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, this current group, they haven't gotten to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, they, you know, they haven't done that. So I do think there's an argument to be made, like, this is actually the rivalry, really, that should stand alone. I am fascinated, and I also love now that, like, Justin Reed and the entire Bengals offense are at war. Like, yes. I think it's so much fun. It makes for a great, great setup for a game that the Bengals have to win more than the Chiefs, honestly. Like, the Bengals need to win just to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Chiefs are going to make the playoffs, going to win the division. They're probably going to be a top two seed one way or the other. The Bengals have to win this game, like, because they're 7-4 and they're on the edge of the playoff picture. So huge game for them. Very big game for the Chiefs. We're trying to get the one seed. There's a lot going on, a lot at stake.
And I'll say about this game, the same thing I said about the Chiefs Bills game earlier this year, when I said, you know, if the Chiefs won against the Bills, I said it wasn't going to mean that much. And if the Bills won against the Chiefs, it wasn't going to mean that much for the Bills, because the Bills still needed to get by them in the playoffs. And it's
right.
But for this game, I think it means a lot for the Chiefs to win this game from a mental standpoint. It doesn't mean that, they still could run into Cincinnati in the playoffs and get boat raced and get sent home. But after what happened last year in two really good games, the first one was kind of a mess. I thought there was some bad officiating, a lot of penalties, but it was a close game. Right. It was an exciting game. And then you had that AFC championship game that, you know, I think either team, if they had won or lost those games, would have felt like they should have won, right? You know, they could have beaten the other team. So for the Chiefs, if you lose a third in a row to these guys after what after losing to them in the AFC Championship game, that then it becomes a monkey on your back. I don't know that it's a monkey on the Chiefs' back yet, even though they got knocked out of the AFC Championship game by the Bengals, because you know they've won their Super Bowl and they're the number one seed and they're seasoned enough to know that we're going into the playoffs and that's what it's about and it's one game in the playoffs. But I think if they lose this game, you can't tell me that some doubt doesn't creep in to people's heads a little bit, like frustration that could cause you to press, that could, you know, when you do get to that position and if it happens in the playoffs. So I think it's a big one for the Chiefs. I think they need to get a win and just kind of exhale and be like, all right, like we're not cursed here. You know, we can take care of these guys.
I don't think there's any argument. Like, look, at some point, you absolutely 100% need to beat Cincinnati if you're the Chiefs. Like, they're not going away. The Bengals are going to be good for a long time. Joe Burrow is, what, 24 years old, 25? Like, Joe Burrow's not just going to shrivel up and disappear. You need to win these games. You need to find a way to do it. I mean, I think the Chiefs are, frankly, like the Bengals, like the Bills, are confident in their ability to go out and beat anybody, and they should feel that way. But yes, at some point, you got to win. You got to win. You got to find a way to get the job done. You know, I think it's absolutely true. Eventually, you've got to win one of these games against Cincinnati. And the Chiefs, both of these games have had great starts, have been way out in front, and then they've fallen apart in the second half. I mean, the regular season game to me was more, I don't want to say understandable, but more like typical of how you blow a game like that. Like, you took a ton of penalties. You blew assignments. Like, that's how you blow a 2-touchdown lead. You make mistakes. The AFC title game, they lost because the Bengals decided to drop 8 guys and the Chiefs just decided never to run the ball, ever. Like, they just refused to do it. Andy made a comment this week in the press conferences of, hey, look, you know, they dropped 8 and they played man and we learned from that. And, you know, I would hope that the real obvious takeaway is you have to be able to run the ball and a team drops 8 guys. Because if the idea is just going to be, we're going to run different route combinations. Like, no, you're not. Like, you're still throwing it to 8 guys. So I think the Chiefs in this game, there's going to be a lot of aggression and a lot of emotion. They've got to harness it. That is the key to me in this game. It's like, you can have all the aggression in the world. That's fine. That's great. You've got to harness it. Otherwise, you're over-aggressive, you're out of control, and that plays to the other team's advantage.
Yeah. Who said it? Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, Tyson.
Tyson, right? The Tyson. Chiefs, they can be as mad as they want coming into this game. The Bengals are going to hit them in the mouth at some point. They've got too many weapons. They're too good of a football team. So it's going to be, how do they respond to that? That's going to matter. So, as if you noted on the outline here, the Bengals are getting healthier. They don't have the best record right now, but they had the best record this time last year, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. So, you know, we know the talent that the Bengals had. We've seen it up close. Mixon and Chase look to be coming back after missing time. Chase had a kind of serious injury. He was on crutches just until a couple of weeks ago, actually. So we don't know how effective he's going to be, but you certainly can't worry. You know, you can't ignore him. He's out there on the field.
Correct.
Mixon is a problem. Can catch the ball out of the backfield. Can run really well. So this is a really dynamic offense. Not to speak anything of Boyden Higgins. Awuzie is out with a torn ACL, but the rest of the defense is there. So what do you make just sort of the Bengals personnel heading into this one?
So, I mean, look, right now, by the way, the injury reports just came out. So Mixon and Chase are both limited. They have been the last 2 days or the first 2 days of the week, depending on how you want to look at it. For the Chiefs, everybody was out there except for Kadarius Toney, who remains sidelined with a hamstring injury. And then there was one other injury that is escaping me at the moment. There's two guys who were out. Kadarius Toney was one of them. And for the love of God, I can't remember the other guy. Deion Bush is limited with an elbow injury, but there was somebody else who was missing. And I just am completely drawing a blank on who that person is. McKinnon. Thank you, Jeremy. McKinnon. Yeah, hamstring injury. So Kinnan and Tony are sidelined right now. Everybody else is in there. Of course, Hardman's on IR. He's got to miss this game and one more. My understanding is Chiefs are hopeful that he will be back right after he's eligible to come back. So we will see. But I would think that, you know, this is a game where for the Bengals, like personnel-wise, they're better on defense than people realize. The Bengals are underrated defensively, and we're going to get into all the metrics or anything else. Look, I'm not trying to make the Bengals out to be the steel curtain, but they're better than people think. Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt are really good linebackers. Logan Wilson, for my money, is one of the five most underrated players in the NFL. He's very, very good. Up front, Trey Hendrickson's a beast. I think most people know who Trey Hendrickson is. If they don't, they're missing the boat. He has six sacks this year, but he's a really, really good player, like a borderline all-pro level edge rusher. And Sam Hubbard is not going to put up those types of numbers, but he's a good player. And then in the backfield, you have Bell and Bates, who are really, really good safeties. You know, different types of guys. I mean, Bell's a more downhill, hard-hitting type, strong safety from heaven. Bates is more of a free safety. The biggest issue for the Bengals right now is without Owuzie, who's, again, out for the season, their corners are susceptible. Mike Hilton's a very good slot corner. But that's probably the biggest weakness, which is why I think in this game the Bengals are going to have to do a lot more of that drop seven, drop eight. Like, they're just going to have to cover with numbers. I don't think they're going to be able to just line up and play man. I know, you know, Cam Taylor Britt, he's a rookie corner. He's been playing a lot lately. You know, and he's shown promise. I just think in this game, if you're Cincinnati, like, you're not going to get in a man and just be like, okay, let's go. Like, I don't think that's happening. I think it's going to be a lot of, like, we're going to drop a ton of guys, beg you to run the ball, and, you know, try to play situational football. Their defense has been pretty good at this year in the red zone. So that's how I think the Bengals go about it. Offensively, we all know. Like, look, they've got Boyd and Higgins and Chase, and they've got Mixon, and Hurst is a decent tight end. Like, Bengals will – they'll put it up on you. They can also run the ball. Look, go watch the Bengals game against the Titans, which I watched the whole thing. The Bengals, physically, if you think they're a finesse team, go watch that game. But they punched the Titans in the mouth for 60 straight minutes. They beat the crap out of Tennessee up front. So the Chiefs
behind, with all due respect, Samaje Perine.
Yeah, right. Ran right. All over. With Mixon or right. Chase.
Right.
And they lined up. And really, just if you watch the game, I mean, Burrow gets hit somewhat, but he's pretty well protected. They were able to run the ball a little bit, but they shut Derrick Henry down. Now, Henry had a big reception. He caught a swing pass, went for like 75 yards or something. But that's the one, like the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs are a much, much, much better team up front than Tennessee is on the offensive line. Tennessee is a bad offensive line. But my point is, Cincinnati was not afraid to get in the trenches and just go after it. Now, of course, this is a much different game. You're not going to drop eight against Tennessee. Like, there's a whole – but I think this is going to be a game where the defenses could play really well and still give up 30 points. Because your offenses are just that talented.
So let's get into the preview. By the way, if you like this podcast, do us a favor and subscribe on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts. Yep. Leave us a review over there and hit the like button on this video right now. Let's get some more Chiefs fans in here. Hell, let's get some more Bengals fans in here to chop it up with us.
Yeah,
they've been pretty respectful so far. Support the show. So here we go. It's Chiefs versus Bengals. Now, when you did the outline, you had Chiefs minus two. I checked it sort of just right before we went on DraftKings, and it's Chiefs minus 1.5.
Yep. It depends. You could find it anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5.
Yeah. So, over under 52.5. KC on the road in this one. So, and this is the start of a three-game road trip for them, one they've got to have. So, you know, as we always talk about, the Chiefs are still, they're favored, not by a ton, but less than a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
You know, so the Bengals are at home. They're the underdogs. That's probably sticking in their craw a little bit. So with your primer, Bengals are 7-2 in their last nine games. So they're heating up. They're tied for first place in the AFC North with the Ravens. So they've got a lot to play for. And they've got, as you pointed out here in the outline, a brutal schedule. Still got to play Baltimore, Tampa, Buffalo, and New England. So looking at this just from the 50,000-foot view, how are you feeling like the Chiefs should attack this Bengals team? I know I listened to your spaces last night. I know what you're going to say, but I just want to throw a question your way before you answer it, and that is, the Bengals know what they did in the second half of that game, right?
Correct.
And the Bengals know that Tyreek Hill is gone. And they know that the Chiefs have the number one offense in the NFL. They're racking up the yards and they're racking up the points. Do you expect that the Bengals are just going to come out and roll with that same game plan just because it worked last year? Or are they going to mix it up against Chiefs and blitz and do some different things?
I think they're going to mix it up. I don't think they're going to blitz. I think they're going to mix up their coverage look, so, because you have to. I mean, if they just come out and they play the same defense play after play after play, I mean, they're not stupid. Like, they understand that the Chiefs are prepared for this. I think that if you are the Bengals, who are, by the way, one of the more well-coached defenses in the NFL, you understand the task at hand here. Mahomes cannot just slice you up for 60 minutes. So it's got to be, if the Chiefs want to run the ball, let them. Play really well on third down, where the Bengals defensively this year have been average. Play really well in the red zone, where they've been very good on both sides of the ball, by the way. It's a huge key for the Chiefs this week. The Bengals are excellent in the red zone offensively and defensively. The Chiefs are very good offensively. They are terrible defensively. I think that's a huge, huge, huge part of it. But I also think if I'm the – like, all right, so if I'm the Chiefs, I think – you have to, early in the game, take the invitation to run the football. If the Bengals are going to let you run for 5 yards a clip, do it. Just run. Run the ball. Think about when the Chiefs have had their best offensive outputs this season. What have they done well in every one of those games? What is the one common thread in every one of those games? They've run the football.
Yeah.
And people, we've got into this analytical hellscape where it's like, running the ball doesn't matter. It doesn't. Yes, it does, because it gets you into better down and distances. And if you can do that, it changes the game because you can open up your whole playbook. It makes it harder for teams to just pin their ears back and go after you. It does change the game. And so if I'm the Chiefs early, I'm trying to run the football. I'm not saying I'd run on first and run on second, but like, if you have first and 10 and you get a look where there's like 5-6 guys in the box, run it. Run the ball. Get 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, and then you have your whole playbook at your disposal, and you can do what you want to do. I don't care how committed you are to stopping the pass and stopping Mahomes. At some point, if you're giving up yardage like that on the ground, you're going to change the way you're playing. You're compelled to. I mean, it's not bad coaching. It's just, it's reality. Like, at some point, you're going to go, all right, we got to creep down the box a little bit. Maybe put an extra backer on the field. We got to bring a safety down a little bit. And then at that point, you can start opening up a little bit. Because I think the one thing, and I'm going to say, so Bengals fans, bear with me for a minute. It's going to sound like I'm cracking on the Bengals, but I'm going to go the other way with this too. If there's one thing the Bengals don't want to have happen in this game, it is getting into a situation where the Chiefs have time in the pocket and Mahomes is able to use his play action game. Because the Bengals corners are not built to put up with Kansas City. They're not. They don't have anybody who's guarding Kelce one-on-one, which is not a dig on Cincinnati. Nobody in the league has anybody who's guarding him one-on-one. And they don't have the corners, in my opinion, that are going to deal with Kansas City and everything that the Chiefs bring to the table one-on-one. So that's one thing. Now, on the other side of the ball, when the Chiefs are on defense, if I am the Chiefs, anytime the Bengals have Chase and Higgins on opposite sides of the field, I would get into press man coverage. I would tell the corners, get up on the line of scrimmage and play outside leverage, and you're responsible for anything outbreaking. Anything that goes to the outside part of the field, you're responsible for it. And I'd have two deep safeties, and I'd have one on either side of the field, obviously, and say, look, anytime there's an in-breaking route, you're responsible for it. I think, to me, like, I would try the best I could to limit, and I'm not saying take out of the game, so too good you're not taking them out of the game, but take out Chase and Higgins as best you can, and then I'd put Snead on Boyd in the slot. And I take my chances one-on-one there. Snead has been excellent this year. And then you have, I'd go 3 safety and look in this game. I'd play a lot of Brian Cook. I would play a lot of Willie Gay on Mixon coming out of the backfield. I think he's your best coverage backer by a mile. And then I'd put Bush or Cook on Hurst in man. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, I'd play a lot of man in the game. Understanding full well, look, you're going to get beat sometimes. Chase is phenomenal. Higgins is tremendous. Boyd's a really good player. That's to me how I'm looking at this game. And I would not blitz, by the way. If I'm the Chiefs, I would not blitz Burry. He's too smart. He's too good. If you leave these guys one-on-one, he's going to kill you. I'd play coverage. I'd try to rush 4. And I said I'd go the other way with this. If there's one thing the Chiefs do not want to have happen in this game, I think the Chiefs should be okay if Mixon and P. Ryan run the ball a little bit. I think the Chiefs are okay with that to a degree. You can't let them go crazy, but to a degree. The Chiefs cannot, in this game, get into positions where the Bengals are getting a bunch of single coverage looks on Chase and Higgins. I'm not saying you can't survive a snap here, snap there. Like, sure. But the Chiefs cannot be put in a position where they've got to single those guys up, which probably means having to blitz a lot. If they have to blitz in this game to get pressure, they're screwed. They have to get home with four. They have to be able to do that. If they can't do that, I think the Bengals will win the game.
Yeah, man, I got to tell you, I'm pretty worried about this game. I just haven't seen I still believe the Chiefs secondary is going to continue to get better, but they've struggled against really good receivers. We saw what Devontae Adams did to them. We saw the 2 seconds that Mike Williams was in the game. Big receivers, guys that like to post the Chiefs up. And Spagnuolo loves to blitz, and he loves to bring these exotic blitzes, especially on, you know, 3rd and 27, which he did against the Bengals once, which was just completely insane. You know, that's what worries me about this Chiefs defense, is that they've been getting sacks like crazy, but they do blitz a lot. It's particularly utilized L'Jarius Sneed to create confusion. It opens things up for the other guys. So, you know, this is a game where I'm with you. Don't blitz. It's not worth it. Like,
your
secondary is young. You got a lot of young guys back there. And even if Chase isn't 100%, these receivers, and the Bengals will do shit. Like, they'll get you. You'll get in a 3rd and 2 with them, and they'll launch a 50-yard pass. So, you know what I mean? Like, don't do it. Play it safe. I would try to make them dink and dunk it as much as you can, and hope that you can get pressure with four, and that you can get some batted down balls. That's the other thing that is like it's a drive killer. You know, with Carlos Dunlap and those long arms. Chris Jones is a fan of doing this. I would be telling those guys, if you can't get home, get your hands up.
Hands up.
Yep. Bat down these passes and get off the field. Because, you know, look, when I look at the way I think the Chiefs should attack the Bengals, I think they should go back for the last 2 years and watch every Bengals-Browns game. Because the Browns, for as much as they've struggled over the last 2 years, they've got Cincy's number, kind of like Cincy's had the Chiefs' number.
And I would go back. Browns do really well.
They run the football.
Run the ball.
Yeah. And it was Nick Chubb earlier this year, 23 carries for 101 yards. And Kareem Hunt ran 11 times for 42. They gave 4 carries a day. The Browns ran the ball against the, including runs from Brissett, 44 times against the Bengals. Yeah. And Amari Cooper had himself a day. So they just beat the Bengals, they creamed them. 32-13. Now, there was no Chase in that game. That matters. But still, the Bengals should have been good enough to beat the Browns without Jamar Chase. And the Browns put it on them. So I would go back and look at the way that the Browns have been playing, because I don't think the Browns defense is any better than the Chiefs.
Oh, the Browns defense is awful. Look, I would say this too. But to your point about getting your hand up and knocking down passes, I believe Burrow's had more passes batted down than anyone in football this year. So that's one thing to keep in mind. I pulled up the box score from last year's regular season game, which was 34-31 Cincinnati. The Bengals scored 10 points in the fourth quarter, came back, won the game. I mean, to me, if you look at this game, the Chiefs offensively really should go to that game plan. And it really should just copy it, essentially. Both teams had 23 first downs. But here's what's crazy about this game. Okay, so just hear these stats, and you're going to be quiet. This is actually like, I mean, the score indicates a really even game too, but like, just hear out the stats. Time of possession, the Chiefs had 31 minutes, the Bengals had 29. Both teams had 23 first downs. Yards per play, Bengals at 7.5, Chiefs at 7.1. So Bengals a little better, but not like crazy better. Neither team had a turnover. Both teams were 1-on-1 on fourth down. Bengals were 4-10 on third down. So, okay, not great, not terrible. So solid number. Chiefs were 6-11. Chiefs were very good on third down. The Bengals had 475 total yards, fueled by Jamar Chase going for 266 of them, okay? Mahomes and company had 414. So the Bengals had a little edge in total yards. The Chiefs in the game ran the ball 23 times for 155 yards, 6.7 yards per attempt on the ground. Bengals only at 3.2. Chiefs were 3 of 4 in the red zone. Bengals were 2 of 3 in the red zone. Chiefs had 4 sacks of Burrow for 31 yards lost. Bengals didn't sack Mahomes. So what was the difference? The Chiefs took 10 penalties for 83 yards. And the Bengals took 5 for 62. Here's the difference. The Chiefs, of their 23 first downs, both teams had 23. The Chiefs had 1 first down via a penalty. The Bengals had 5. Excuse me, they had 6. The Bengals had 6 first downs. More than a quarter of their first downs in that game were given to them via penalty. And I'd have to go back and look at the play-by-play, which I don't want to do right now. I'm pretty sure the Chiefs also had a touchdown taken back on a penalty in that game. Could be wrong. I have to double-check that. The Chiefs have to be disciplined in this game. It killed them in the regular season game. If the Chiefs play a reasonable football game, penalty-wise, they win. I wouldn't even say probably. They win, okay? But they lost because they took too many penalties and because they couldn't bother to guard Jamar Chase. So to me, like, the Chiefs, their attack was good in that game. It really was. The problem was they took too many penalties. And they, in the end, defensively beat themselves. Now, I thought defensively in the AFC title game, the Chiefs actually played really well. They had a really good plan in that game. So I think Spags at least has a decent idea of what he can do. They got to marry those two things. They got to marry the offense in the first game, sans the penalties, and the defense in the second game. And if they can do that, I think they're in pretty good shape.
And they've traditionally had a problem, and part of that is due to the way that Spagnuolo likes to call the defense, with pass interference penalties. And right. A team like the Bengals is kind of a nightmare for that, as we saw with Charvarius Ward last year. I was actually watching some old clips from the game, from the first game last year with Charvarius Ward. And there were, you know, a couple plays that the Bengals made over Ward. That Ward had good coverage. Was a good position. Not even you know, these guys are big and they're talented and athletic, and Burrow's a good quarterback. But there was one play that I wanted to point out in that game. That I don't, maybe they realized it by the time they got to play them in the AFC Championship game. It was that play where Burrow, it was a little short comeback route to Chase, and he took off. He juked Nick Bolton out of his cleats.
Took off
down the middle of the field and just literally outran. I paused it at one point. There were seven or eight Chiefs around him. He outran everybody because he's incredibly fast. May not be that fast this weekend, but we'll see. But on that play, if you watch, Charvarius Ward was in coverage on the other side of the field, and he got drawn close to the middle of the field. And when Chase caught that ball, there were 3 Chiefs around him, and Nick Bolton was coming over and looked like he was going to make the tackle, and Chase juked him. And if you watch Charvarius Ward in that clip, he pulls up, he's jogging, and because he thinks that Chase is going to get tackled. And when Chase jukes Bolton, he runs right into where Ward would have been if Ward kept running towards the play. And Ward would have been able to make the tackle. So this is a game where I think the Chiefs need to understand, especially with these young guys, and they found it out with Devontae Adams, how athletic these guys are for the Bengals. And they need to treat them with respect, and they need to run to the football, and they need to hustle on every play, because if they're standing there 5 yards away and they think somebody else is going to make the tackle, they got another thing coming.
I think it's well said. I mean, look, and by the way, yes, somebody pointed out on their right, the penalty I was thinking of was the one where Pringle ran back a kickoff right before half for a touchdown, and Zane Anderson took a penalty that guy. I actually was like, I never want to see Zane Anderson again. And guess who's on special teams now? Guess who's back? Zane Anderson. So, awesome. That is a huge part of the game. That is a huge part of the game. Like, to me, I'm trying to know how to word this. The Chiefs in this game, if I'm Spagnuolo, I'm telling the DBs, I do not care if you take an illegal contact penalty on first down. I don't care. And if it's second and short, I don't care either. I don't care. Because I am of the philosophy, and I saw Belichick do this for years, and I'll tell you right now, you better be ready because he's going to do it tonight against Buffalo. I tell those DBs, get up on the line of scrimmage, and I want you to play within the rules best you can. But I'll tell you right now, you think you're getting beat by one of these guys? Do whatever you got to do. Hook them, hold them, grab them, push them. I don't care. And if you get called on first and 10, I don't care. Fine. But here's 5 yards, play it again. Play it again. I would be ultra physical if I'm the Chiefs in this game. Because, and by the way, I would do the same if I was the Bengals, for the record. But if I'm the Chiefs or the Bengals DBs in this game, I am being ultra physical and saying, you know what? I am willing to take a penalty here or there. Because if you set that tone early in the game with the officials, at some point you're graded on a bell curve. At some point it becomes, all right, yeah, it's probably a penalty, but it's not that bad compared to stuff that happened earlier. We're going to let it go. Whereas if you're not physical the whole game and then you do that in the fourth quarter, now it looks a lot more egregious. It's a penalty. Like, I used this example on my Spaces yesterday. I'm going to use it again. I remember the 2020 AFC title game, the Chiefs beat up on Buffalo. And if you go back and watch that game, Rashad Breeland's on Stephon Diggs early in the game. And Rashad Breeland basically turns it into a WWE wrestling match in the first quarter. I mean, honestly, I think he takes two or three penalties on him in the first quarter. Diggs just disappears off the face of the earth for the rest of that game because it became accepted that Breeland was going to be really physical. So, I think if you're Joshua Williams, if you're Jalen Watson on the outside, if you're Trent McDuffie, hey, look, man, you got to do what you got to do to win the game. Like, and again, if I were the Bengals, I'd do the same thing. I really would if I were the Bengals. I'd play the same way. Like, the Titans just did that to the Chiefs, where they turned it into a steel cage match down the field. The Patriots did that in the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs years ago. Like, I'm good with that. I see John saying the Bengals are more physical. John, I got to tell you, the Bengals are a better defense than people realize. The Chiefs have size at corner for the first time in years. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm not afraid to get up on the line of scrimmage. I'm not. Like, with Watson and Williams, especially Williams, which is a really good athlete, I'd have no problem getting up on the line of scrimmage if I'm Spagnuolo and saying, here it comes. Like, we're going to be physical. It's going to be a battle. The other reason, too, is, like, you disrupt timing on plays like that. So
right.
I would like to see the Chiefs be physical at the line of scrimmage in this game and be willing to say, listen, we'll take three illegal contact penalties in the first half on first and 10. If that means that down the road, in the fourth quarter, a big third and 7 can get physical because you've been physical the whole game and now it's a little bit more accepted. So I'm curious to see how the Chiefs play it, how the Bengals play it, and how the officials play it in a game that is a huge game for both teams. Probably, honestly, bigger for Cincinnati than for Kansas City standings-wise, but a big game for both nonetheless.
How much of Isaiah Pacheco do you think the Bengals see in this game? He's really leaned on him the last couple of weeks. He looks pretty good. He's running hard. Will Andy have the discipline to run it?
I don't know if he'll have the discipline to run it, but I absolutely think you're going to see a lot of Isaiah Pacheco. I know there's been this talk about, well, is Melvin Gordon going to see the field? I don't think Melvin Gordon's seeing the field in this game. I think it's going to be a lot of, and I mean a lot, especially if McKinnon's beat up a little bit. I think you're going to see a lot of Pacheco. They have to give him the ball. Like, Andy has to have learned from that game in the playoffs. If you don't run the ball, it's a problem. Now, you would also think he would have learned from, like, hey, we watched in the regular season the Chiefs run the ball really well, and then they just completely neglected to go to that. I think Pacheco is going to be on the field a huge chunk of this game. By the way, for the record, in case anyone's curious, John Hussey is the official for Sunday's matchup between the Chiefs and the Bengals.
Good old John Hussey. So last week when the Bengals played the Titans, as you pointed out, they bottled up Derrick Henry, 17 carries, 38 yards, but he did have three receptions for 79 yards. So he was able to hurt him through the air. With McKinnon with a hamstring and maybe the fact that the Chiefs signed Gordon, that tells us something about how they feel about the recovery there for McKinnon. Do you think they'll throw the ball to Pacheco? Is this something maybe that they're going to unveil?
They could. They threw it on once last game. I don't know that you're going to see them do that a ton, but I think you're going to see a decent amount of Pacheco in this game. I think more running. I mean, he may have a catch or two, but I think you're going to see more of him on the ground, outside zone. Like, I think if you're the Bengals, you're trying to keep the game a little bit more toward a phone booth style on the ground. I think if you're the Chiefs, you probably want to get those stretch runs going with Pacheco. I would try to run him to the outside and use his speed. Will you see him catch the ball? Yeah, you'd probably see once or two, but I don't think it's going to be a game where the Bengals blitz a ton. I don't think it's going to be a game where the Bengals are sending a bunch of guys. So I think it's going to be, you know, look, if the Bengals do their rush three, drop eight stuff, then you know, you're going to see him release into the pattern because there's no reason for him to stay in. Let's put it this way. I think he will be very involved in the game. And by the way, I mentioned Hussey is going to be the official. His crew does not call penalties. So of all the crews in the league, and there are, let me just make sure I'm right with this. There are 17 crews. John Hussey's crew has called the third least penalties in the games this year. So, but you're not going to believe who's number one by a mile. It's Carl Cheffers.
Well, Carl loves the spotlight.
He sure does, man. No, nobody likes to call penalties more. But yeah, John Hussey's crew, it should be a fun game to watch. They've only called 96 penalties across 11 games. So they don't call many. It should be, you know, at least by his history, it should be a pretty clean game.
All right. I got to ask you before we get to our predictions about Andy Reid. So yep. This is a game where like the Chiefs were pretty vanilla last week against the Rams. They ran the ball a lot. Didn't bust out a lot of tricky stuff in the red zone, which didn't work out well for them. Is this a game where Andy Reid, based on everything that happens, and also kind of knowing the rest of the Chiefs' schedule and the number one seed and all that stuff, and this kind of being the toughest game remaining on Kansas City's schedule, is this a game where Andy Reid kind of empties out his bag of tricks a little bit?
Yes. I think Andy actually empties out his bag of tricks and then goes back for a second bag and empties out. Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
They are going to want to win this game in the worst way. I mean, let's just – like we're getting toward the hour mark. Let's lay the cards on the table. Okay. The Bengals want to win this game in the worst way because it's a big game and they have to win the game because of their record. The Chiefs don't have to win this game. Like if the Chiefs lose this game, they're 9-3. They're going to win the division anyway. Their schedule's a joke the rest of the way. Like the Chiefs are fine, right? Like the Chiefs are not overwhelmingly in trouble here if they lose this game. I honestly still think they'll be the one seed if they lose this game, they went out. But obviously they maintain control of their own destiny if they were to win this game. I think this is a game where the Chiefs are going to just really want to win the game. Like, if that makes sense. I don't know if they need to, but they're going to want to. After what happened last year, look, they're going to go all out. I mean, they're going to do everything. This is one of these games where if Mahomes has any opportunity, I was just going to say this, Gonzo beat me to it. If Mahomes has any opportunity to be a petty SOB in this game, he's going to do it. Like, if Mahomes can throw for six touchdowns, I don't think they're scoring six touchdowns, but if he can, he's going to do it. If Andy has any play in his satchel that he thinks is a slam dunk, like that, maybe save it for the playoff. Here it comes. Like they're going to want to kill the Bengals. Now the Bengals are really good. They may not be able to do it, but they're going to want to do it. They're going to want to come out and hang 100 on Cincinnati in this game. So the motivation's not going to be a problem. The motivation is going to be there, but Cincinnati's a very good team. And Cincinnati's a lot like Kansas City, honestly, in a lot of ways. I mean, great quarterback, can throw the ball over the lot, well-coached. Defensively, they're underrated. You know, I mean, the funny thing is, if you look at the Bengals and the Chiefs rankings-wise, defensively, they're identical teams, like almost identical. Like, if you look at the two teams and you just sit there and go up and down, you're like, okay, yards per play. So, I mean, the only real big difference defensively is the Bengals are a lot better in the red zone. And the Chiefs are a lot better getting sacks. So, like, the biggest – so the Chiefs have 35 sacks this year, okay, which ranks them fifth in the league, tied with Baltimore. Cincinnati has 17 sacks, which is second worst in the league, tied with Jacksonville and Atlanta. And if you look at the red zone numbers, the Bengals are really good in the red zone. So the Bengals are sixth best at 50%. Chiefs are dead last in the NFL, 70.5% of the time to go up a touchdown. So that's where those teams are really different. Now, on the flip side, the Chiefs are pretty good on third down. They're not great. They're 12th. Bengals are 19th. But if you look at like a lot of the rest of the stats, like yards per play, Kansas City checks in at 13th. The Bengals are a tenth of a yard behind them at 15th. You know, if you look at rushing against, there are a couple teams tied at 4.3 yards per carry against. It's the Chiefs and the Bengals. I mean, if you go and look down the line, just a lot of very similar stats. You know, the Bengals have missed 53 tackles this year. The Chiefs have missed 57. You know, like it's – so the defenses, I think, are a little underrated. They're solid defenses, but the offenses are just really good, and they're led by two great quarterbacks.
It's going to be an absolutely fascinating game. It's going to be seen pretty much all over the entire country. There's a game, happening out on the West Coast, but it's basically a primetime game. All right, let's get into our final score predictions here. I'll kick us off this week. I got to tell you, man, I almost picked the Bengals to win this game. I'm worried about the Chiefs' young secondary and the weapons that I think it's Cincy's a bad matchup for the Chiefs. Even though they made changes, I think they're a bad matchup, particularly if they're able to run the ball and the Chiefs can't kind of find a way to make them one-dimensional. That's rough. But I just find it hard. It's just hard for me to imagine somebody beating Mahomes three times in a row with Andy Reid, Travis Kelce. After what happened in the AFC Championship game, I think a little bit of extra preparation probably went into this one, but I still think it's going to be a nail biter. I think it's going to be a shootout. I'm going to go Chiefs 30, Bengals 27, and I think Kansas City gets this on a last minute Harrison Butker field goal. I think this game is tied heading into the waning minutes of the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs just happen to have the ball.
So I am a little different on this game. I have a lot of respect for Cincinnati. In fact, I'll tell you what, other than watching the Chiefs, I probably enjoy watching Cincinnati more than any other team in the league. Like I really love watching Burrow. I loved watching him at LSU. And I ironically also loved watching Jamar Chase at LSU. So it's just, they're a fun team for me. You know, I've gotten to be around some of the people in the organization just in my travels covering the league, and a lot of really good people in Cincy. So I really, honestly, I enjoy them quite a bit. I think this is a game, and I've said this a few times on different platforms, I've talked about the game this week. As the late, great Therese Paylor used to say, this feels like an over my dead body game for Mahomes. Like, this just feels like one of these games where it's like, look, whatever has to happen is going to happen. I give Thomas Cole having some guts there. 24-16 Bengals. They hold the Chiefs to 16 points, man. Hats off. I mean, hey, who knows? I also I like Emperor here. It's a 69-3. I appreciate that the Chiefs at least got a field goal. I'm going 33-27 Kansas City. I think it's a lot of points. I think the Bengals are going to be right there. I just think Mahomes in this game, man, like it's just got to – I think for him, in his head, it's got to happen. Like they've got to find a way. And I'm just a big believer in kind of the rhythm of a team. The Chiefs have had a history since about winning the Super Bowl. When they play teams that they should just hammer, a lot of times with the Chiefs, it's a very like slow start. They kind of score around. And then usually like by the middle of the third quarter, they start putting that team away, you know, and they handle business. They usually don't lose those games, but they usually kind of almost like a cat with a mouse, right? Like they just toy with the team for 30, 40 minutes, and then they rev it up. When they have games where they're disrespected, where they're overlooked, where they feel like they've been slighted, that is typically when they play their best football games. That is typically when they come out like a house of fire. Like I remember earlier this year when they played the Raiders and we were like, oh, they're going to kill the Raiders. And they got down 17-0. And then that thing with Carl Cheffers happened with Chris Jones. And I remember coming out of the halftime show and being like, that is the best thing that happened to them. They're going to win this game now.
Right.
Like, because it woke them up. It pissed them off so much. I just really like knowing the team. I was like, they're 100% going to win this game. The crowd's irate. The players are furious. They're going to win this game. I think the Chiefs find a way to win this game. I think the Chiefs are a slightly better team. And I think motivationally, they're just going to be furious. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they lose. But I think whenever they're in spots like this, and they have to respond, they typically do it in an emphatic way. So I will take the Chiefs to win. I think it's a good game. I think it's a lot of fun. And I'll tell you right now, I don't think it's the last time they play each other this season. But I think the Chiefs will find a way to win the game. And I'll take them by 6 points.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think they'll meet again in the playoffs. It could be one of those games. You're right. I was thinking about this myself where, you know, I did not expect the 49ers game to go the way that it did. I did not expect the Tampa Bay game to go the way that it did. Sometimes the Chiefs, when they really execute, they can be really hard to stop. And if this is one of those games on the road, their defenses are up, focused, we'll see what happens. You know, the Bengals are getting Chase back into the offense. What kind of condition is he in? You know, we're going to find out. It's going to be really, really exciting. And the other thing that's going to be exciting is that after this game is over, the next game that the Chiefs play, we will be in Kansas City. We're going to be at Tanner's Bar and Grill December 11th for the Chiefs at Broncos game. Head to arrowheadaddict.com/events to get to the Eventbrite link to get your ticket. The tickets are free. They don't guarantee you a seat. It's just an RSVP. But it does get you, for the first 50 people that check in with us on that day, a special gift and 5 extra raffle tickets. And we're going to be giving away a ton of stuff. Casey Beer is going to be there. They're going to be giving away stuff. Tanner's is going to be giving away stuff. So it's just going to be a day-long party of good food, good beer, and football, and good conversation. We're going to do 2 live podcasts there at the venue. We're going to be there all day. It's going to be awesome. And we hope to meet some of you. You've been wonderful supporters of this podcast, many of you for a long time. And if you're able to make it, if you're in the area, if you're not working, we'd love for you to come out and say hi. We'd love to shake your hand and just thank you for your support of this show. It means a lot to us.
I will quickly say too, look, I'm getting there on Friday afternoon. I will be tweeting out, maybe stupidly, but like, I'm going to be tweeting out like, hey, I'm at this bar on Friday night, or I'm at this place. Like, probably won't do that for dinner, because I feel like that might be a little rude to the restaurant. But for the bars, not that they'll mind, you guys want to meet up, hang out, like I'm in town, man. I am happy to meet everybody and anybody I can possibly meet. Shake hands, have a beer. I can't wait to be out there. By the way, should note, the old man has been flirting with the idea of actually flying out to Kansas City for the weekend.
Oh, so, okay.
I need to find some way to push him over the edge for this. He's been thinking about it. I'm like, look, I already have a hotel room. You know, I got an extra bed. I'm pretty sure I have like 2 queen beds. I'm like, I got an extra bed. Yeah, I can pick him up and drop him off the airport. So I have my car. I'm like, all you need to do is just get out here and fly out. So I'm trying to get him to do that, because that'd be hilarious.
We could just have you guys enact your regular Chiefs halftime phone call that you used to do before we started doing this stupid podcast.
Yeah.
In real time. And could watch both of you melt down. If it's not a 10-point lead for the Chiefs or more, I think we forget.
If they don't blow Denver out, people are going to see me at Tanner's actually blow a blood vessel out of my eye socket. Because if I have to watch Russell Wilson going toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, my head's going to explode. I just can't take it.
If you've never, and most of you have not, had the pleasure of watching a Chiefs game with Verderam, it is, if you think he's intense on this podcast, imagine what he's like when the stakes are really high and he's watching his favorite team. It's hilarious.
That's one word for it.
Maybe a little frightening, you know. Don't bring kids to Tanner's.
I wouldn't.
If things start going bad in the game, just get your family and get out of there. We're really excited to meet all you. Look, there is a limited number of those Eventbrite tickets.
Yeah.
Anybody can come to Tanner's that day, but there is a limited number. So make sure you snag yours to get those 5 extra raffle tickets, and maybe you'll snag a little bit of swag. All right, we got to get out of here. And the whole crew is going to be out there. Producer Richard, who's behind the scenes right now, is going to be there as well. A bunch of other people from Arrowhead Addict and Fanside. So we're excited to see you all next weekend in Kansas City. I can't wait. I'm starving myself all this week.
I know.
All next week. I'm not eating anything. I'm just drinking like protein shakes, taking in about 700 calories a day, because I'm going to be taking in about, 20,000 a day once I get to Kansas City.
All it's in barbecue. We can close on this, since we always like talk a little food. What is your favorite kind of barbecue? Like, of the different cuts, like what is your favorite? If you had to pick one thing, that's the thing I'm going all in on.
It's burn ends, man.
Same for me.
It's honestly, like, I think it's really good proof that God exists. Because there's no, I mean, the first time I had a burn end, it just blew my mind. And I've had different types of burn ends. Like, I really like the way that they chop them up at Gates and you get like the burn end sandwich. Those are incredible. I've had absolutely amazing burn ends. I finally got some at Joe's the last time I was in KC. Jack Stack, when their burn ends are on point, although I will say they're not always on point. The last few times I've been there, it's been hit or miss at Jack Stack. I think they get so busy that, you know, what I like about Joe's is, like, if they run out, they're out. And, you know, some of the, like, the sit down restaurant, I think it's a little bit more challenging because you want to have everything on the menu and all that stuff. I mean, when I've been to Jack Stack and it's been on point, unbelievable. I've never been to Arthur Bryant's. I want to maybe try to sneak out to Arthur Bryant's this time.
The first time I went to Kansas City, I was there. It's excellent. So just so everybody knows, my schedule now, it's a little different now because the Sunday got moved, although not really, because we're going to be at Tanner's all day anyway. Twice on Friday, I'm getting barbecue. I don't care. Like, if it's a late lunch and a dinner, that's fine. It's Q39, Jack Stack, Arthur Bryant's, Oklahoma Joe's, and then just go from there. The best part of the barbecue stuff, other than the actual, obviously, the barbecue itself, if you're in the mood for a type of food, you're like, man, I'm really in the mood for Mexican food tonight or Greek food or Italian food, whatever. Like, it's great, but, like, it's pretty much that and that's it. Like, barbecue, you get the barbecue, and then there's all the sides that come with it, and the sides are amazing. It's always, like, potato salad and coleslaw and mac and cheese and cornbread. It's just, like...
bean.
Yeah, like if I just had the sides, I'd feel happy. But then on top of that, then you get the barbecue, and you always get the platter. You just get like that whole, like, you're like, how many meats you want? You want three meats? Yeah, I'll take three meats. Just bring them all. Just bring the whole damn. Bring the whole damn animal out, and we'll figure it out from there. Like, oh my God, it's when you find the right barbecue and the right sauce, and it just basically melts in your mouth. Oh God, I'm going to be on Sunday. People are going to be like, is Vernon okay? Like, He's taking a lot of salt tablets, but he's all right. You know, prop him up.
Yep.
He's good. Oh, yeah. I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Can't wait to meet some of you. So make sure you go head to arrowheadaddict.com/events. Check out the link in the description. Go straight to the Eventbrite. Lock it in because we're running out of slots. All right. We will see you guys on Sunday. I don't think we're doing a pregame show. We might need to figure that out.
It's an afternoon game.
Yeah, so afternoon game. We'll be there for halftime. We'll be there for postgame of the Bengals. So this is your game preview. So we'll see you on Sunday after the Chiefs take care of business against Cincinnati. But until then, for our producer, Richard, for Matt Verderam, my name is Patrick Allen. As always, go Chiefs.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.